Exodus chapter 20, look if you would, starting at verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." Now, when it says stranger in thy gates, that's talking about people who are not Jews, who wanted in on the blessings of the Jews, that did what the Jews did. In other words, they were circumcised and they obeyed the laws and those things. And it says, "By the seventh day of the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, this fourth commandment is the longest commandment, and it's also by far the most misunderstood commandment of the ten that are listed here in Exodus chapter 20. I want to point out that when it came to the Ten Commandments, no Gentile ever had the Ten Commandments written out for them. Only the Jews had the Ten Commandments written out for them. The Bible says that the Gentiles has it written on their hearts, okay? And when we're looking at Exodus chapter 20 here, we're looking at what was written out to the Jews on tablets, okay? And that is the Ten Commandments. And I will say that, like I said, this fourth commandment is the most misunderstood commandment, because there are a lot of people to this day that say that that Christians are to keep the Sabbath. And they'll say because it's part of the Ten Commandments. There are some today who still worship on Saturday. And those people usually say that we're desecrating the Sabbath by not keeping it. And they even say that the people who don't keep the Sabbath may not even be saved. Now, I'm just going to tell you that anybody who reads their Bible knows that whether you do or do not keep the Sabbath has nothing to do with your salvation, because your salvation is not based on works one way or the other. Amen? So that's just ridiculous. I mean, a lot of people, they'll say, well, if you disagree with me, you must not be saved. Us disagreeing with you has nothing to do with your salvation or mine. Amen? It's what you believe. Do you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ or don't you? And that's what salvation is based on. Now, there are many questions concerning the Sabbath day. One of those questions is, what day of the week was the Sabbath day? You know, there are some today that believe that was Sunday. There are some today that call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. Now, you may do that, and there's nothing wrong if you want to do that. I'm just telling you that term is not found in your Bible, the Christian Sabbath. Sabbath day was a Saturday. Okay, it was the last day of the week. We know that because you go all the way back to Genesis, and it says that he rested on the seventh day. He made man on the sixth day, he rested on the seventh day. And that's what he's talking about right here, even in Exodus chapter 20. So we know it's on a Saturday. Another question that comes up is, are Christians to keep the Sabbath? And then another question that comes up is Sunday now the Christian Sabbath? Well, the first question obviously is simple, because like we said, Sabbath is on a Saturday. And we know that the seventh day later became known as a Sabbath day. The seventh day later became known as the Sabbath day because the word Sabbath means to rest from labor. That's what the Lord did on the seventh day. He rested, okay? The seventh day began on sunset, at sunset on Friday at 6 p.m. Now, we're talking Hebrew time. If you go back to Genesis, remember it says in the first day, and it says in the evening and morning were the first day, and the evening and morning were the second day, and the evening and morning were the third day. Well, you go all the way back, and once you do that, you'll find out that in the evening and morning was the seventh day when he rested. That means that that Saturday started at Friday at 6 p.m. and ended at Saturday at 6 p.m., okay? That would be the evening and morning. And so that would be the weekly Sabbath. Now, as far as the other two questions, are Christians to keep the Sabbath, and is Sunday now the Christian Sabbath, we need to go back to the Old Testament to start with and see what was said and what was not said about the Sabbath. And the first thing I want you to notice in the Old Testament is that the Sabbath was not commanded to any of the patriarchs. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? You're talking about the patriarchs. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those are what we call the patriarchs. And you'll find out that from Adam all the way to Moses, nobody was ever told to keep that Sabbath. Nobody was. You do not find Abraham ever keeping the Sabbath. You do not find Jacob ever keeping the Sabbath. You don't find Joseph ever keeping the Sabbath. From Adam to Moses, you find nobody. In fact, there's not even a mention of the Sabbath from Adam. Well, you say, no, wait a second. It has to be because it's mentioned in Genesis. Question, who wrote Genesis? Moses did. When did he write Genesis? While he was alive. Amen? So what he did was he wrote Genesis after he had already received the law, and what he did, he wrote about what happened when God created the earth and he made the things of the earth, and it took him 7 days and he rested the seventh. So Moses, when he wrote that, he would have understood that God had hallowed the Sabbath because of what was given in the law. Okay? And so when Moses wrote Genesis, he's given you a historic effect of what happened, a historic account of what happened. And he's talking about the Sabbath. But nobody was ever told from Adam up until Moses now, and Moses was, but from Adam up until Moses, nobody was told to keep the Sabbath at all. You don't find where Adam was told to do it. You don't find where the patriarchs were told to do it. You don't find where anybody in that time was ever told to keep the Sabbath. Okay, but he did teach that to Moses that it was a day of rest. Now, in Genesis 2:3, it says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is in it he had rested from all of his work which God had created and made." But like I said, that was Moses who wrote that. It was Moses who knew the law of the Sabbath when he wrote it. Okay. And so that's one thing I want you to see. Another thing I want you to see is that in the Old Testament, it tells us about the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 16. It gives us more details of the Sabbath. So turn, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 16. Or turn back to Exodus chapter 16. Nobody was told from Adam to Moses to keep the Sabbath. Moses was the first one who was ever told to keep the Sabbath. Moses and the children of Israel. And that's when it was given in the law. He then writes Genesis. And that's when he talks about the seventh day. Now in Exodus chapter 16, you see the very first mention of the word Sabbath in the Bible. Exodus chapter 16, look if you would at verse 23. It says, "And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, and see that ye shall seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until morning. And they laid it up till morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there were out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandment and my law? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." Now here's what he said. These people went out to gather on the Sabbath when they were not supposed to go out and gather on the Sabbath. And so the Lord tells Moses, he says, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" What commandments he's talking about? He's talking about the fourth commandment that was given to them. And he's saying, "I told you not to go out on that day to gather. There's a reason I told you not to go out on that day to gather, because that's supposed to be a day of rest. It's a Sabbath day. It's to be hallowed." And then he says in verse 29, "See that for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." Now, who was Moses talking to here? God's talking to Moses and the children of Israel. He said, "I've given you the Sabbath." Notice he didn't say, "I've given everybody the Sabbath." He said, "I've given you the Sabbath." All right, now turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 31. What we're trying to figure out here is, as Christians, are we to keep the Sabbath day to day? Because I'm just going to tell you that you're going to run, if you have not already ran across somebody that has told you that we need to keep the Sabbath, you will eventually. Somebody's going to come up and tell you that we need to keep the Sabbath. But what, you listen, we're not interested in what everybody else says. We're interested in what the Scripture says. Amen? All right, Exodus chapter 31. And look, if you would, starting at verse 13. It says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel." Remember context. Who's it talking to? Where are they at? Who, what, when, where, and why? "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths, who shall keep? Ye shall keep." Who? That's the children of Israel. He didn't say, "Verily my Sabbaths the whole world should keep." He says, "Ye shall keep them. For is it a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you? Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. For it is holy unto you. Everyone that defieth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath." Who's going to keep the Sabbath? Children of Israel. "To observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." Now watch verse 17. "It is a sign between me and" who? "The children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, in that passage right there, do you see how many times that he says that the Sabbath is for the children of Israel? It's for the children of Israel. It's for the children of Israel. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel. There is no mention of Gentiles anywhere there. There's no mention of everybody else in the world there. There's no mention of Christians there. He's talking to the children of Israel. And the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. Now, why did God make the Sabbath a sign between him and Israel? Well, turn, if you would, over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to see in Deuteronomy chapter 5 the whole purpose of the Sabbath. God had a purpose in putting that fourth commandment there and listing it. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, look if you would at verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. I'll wait till everybody gets there. It says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." Now he's talking to Israel, who had been under Egyptian bondage. "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." The reason why he told them to keep the Sabbath day is so that they would remember, a sign between them and the children, between him and the children of Israel, that they would remember that it was God who delivered them. Now, well, listen, as Christians, we understand that we've been delivered from sin. Amen? We understand that. But nobody in here was ever in Egyptian bondage, unless maybe I'm mistaken. Anybody was in Egyptian bondage? Okay, then guess what? You can't say that I have to keep the Sabbath, because it was never meant for any Gentile, because the Gentiles were not the ones that were delivered from Egyptian bondage. The Jews were. And that's the reason why God says it's a sign between me and the children of Israel. That's the reason he says, "Ye shall keep them from your generation forever," because he's saying you need to remember what I did for you when I delivered you from Egypt. Therefore, he puts that on there that the children of Israel were to keep the Sabbath, and he wrote that on stones. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that we look at those Ten Commandments that were written on those stones, but the problem is today we look at that and we just assume that when those Ten Commandments were written on stone, every one of those Ten Commandments are for everybody. Now, that's true that there are commandments that are written for us. It's still a sin to murder. Amen? It's still a sin to steal. It's still a sin to commit adultery. You're going to notice in the New Testament that both Jesus and Paul mention the Ten Commandments. But you're going to find out that Paul never mentioned the Sabbath. Now, why do you reckon he would omit that? because it's not for Gentiles and it's not for the church. It's not for them. It never was. Hey, listen, when a Gentile has a law written on their heart, no doubt he has written on his heart, thou shalt not steal. No doubt he has written on his heart that thou shalt not commit adultery. No doubt he has written on his heart that thou shalt not kill. But a Gentile does not have written on his heart to keep the Sabbath. Why? It was never given to a Gentile. Nowhere in that Bible was it ever given to a Gentile. As a Christian today, you have convictions if you break one of those commandments. I hope you do. Amen. If you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, you should have a conviction if you break one of those commandments. If you tell a lie, you should feel bad about it. You should feel guilty about it. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God telling you you've done wrong. But listen, if a person today, if you break the Sabbath and all of a sudden you say, well, I just believe you got to keep the Sabbath because I just feel it in my heart. That's a conviction, but that's not Scripture. It was never written on your heart to keep the Sabbath because that Sabbath law was never given to Gentiles or the church. It was specifically given to the nation of Israel. How many of you understand that this morning? Now listen, there are other laws that were also specifically given to the Jews. Do you realize that no Gentile was ever told to keep the Passover, the original Passover, or the Feast of Weeks? That was given to them. Now here's the problem. It's the strangest thing that whenever I'm talking to somebody that believes that we are to keep the Sabbath, I always say, well, if we got to keep the Sabbath because that was part of the law, aren't we supposed to keep the Feast of Weeks too? Oh no, that was for the children of Israel. Well, what does the Bible say that the Sabbath was for? You see, we can't cherry pick. If the Bible says it's for them, it's for them. If the Bible says it's for us, you say, well, how do we know that some of those laws are for us? Because they're mentioned, some of those laws are mentioned in the New Testament. During our age, by Paul, when he's talking to the church. And so that's a part of how to study your Bible. Now, you say, well, there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, it talks about the stranger within your gates. Isn't that talking about Gentiles? Absolutely. Turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. I'll show you what I'm talking about. In Exodus chapter 20, in our text, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. You say, well, now, that's obviously not Jews, that's Gentiles. That's correct. But there's a reason that they're called strangers within their gates. You know who those people were? Those were the Gentiles that said, you know what? Everywhere the children of Israel are going, I see they're being blessed by God, and I want in on that. And they said, how do we become one of you? You know what they had to do? They had to be circumcised. They had to keep all the laws that were given to Israel. Guess what? That person who said, I want to be in on the blessings of God that comes with the children of Israel, that person has to keep those laws, so therefore that law would apply to that person. But today, we don't try to be one of the children of Israel. It's different. Today, we're the church. Today, a Gentile, even back then, a Gentile who says, okay, those are the children of Israel, and I'm over here, and I'm one of those people that live in Jericho, and if they come over here, we're going to fight them. That Gentile was never told to keep the Sabbath. He wasn't trying to be one of the children of Israel. He wasn't willing to keep the laws that the children of Israel were keeping. So that Gentile would not qualify as a stranger at the gate. But the Gentiles who wanted to be a part of the children of Israel, they were the ones who would have to keep the fourth commandment as well. So it's talking here about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is not for Gentiles, and it's not for the church today. And there is no indication whatsoever in the Bible that the Sabbath was ever intended for all mankind. It is specifically said it was a commandment that the Jews, the children of Israel, were to keep because God had delivered them from Egypt. Now, let's see what else we can learn about the Sabbath. And this time, let's look at the New Testament. Now, in the books of the New Testament, we see that Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Okay? So he taught. It does seem to indicate that the Jews were to on Sabbath day, they would come and worship in the synagogue, much like we come on Sunday to worship in church. Okay? And Jesus taught there in the synagogues on the Sabbath. In Mark 6:2, we're also told that when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Again, he's teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And many hearing him was astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. So here Jesus is, again, he's in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, a Saturday, teaching. A lot of people today say, well, if Jesus did it, we should do it too. Listen, you're still Old Testament here. How many of you understand that? Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. We're still the Old Testament. And so he's teaching on the Sabbath to the Jews in the synagogue. All right? Now, as you read the gospel, you'll see that Jesus' actions on the Sabbath sparked a lot of controversy because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. He healed on the Sabbath. Look at in Mark chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, and he entered again into the synagogue. There he is going into the synagogue again on a Saturday. And there was a man which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which hath a withered hand, stand forth. And of course we read that he healed him. Now, these Pharisees were sitting there and watching to see what he was going to do on the Sabbath day to see if he was going to heal that person. All right, now, turning back, if you would, to Mark chapter 2, one chapter previous to that. And you'll also see that Jesus allowed his disciples to pluck grain in order to eat on the Sabbath. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now, notice that Jesus countered their objections every time by showing their ignorance of the law. Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungry? He and they that were with him. Question, what did they do? What did David do? He went and he ate the showbread. Was David supposed to eat that showbread? Verse 26, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he saith unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And then look what he says in verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Do you know what he just said? He just told it. Do you think those Jews knew who instituted the Sabbath? Whose finger it was that wrote on that tablet that thou shalt keep the Sabbath day over in Exodus chapter 20? Those Jews knew that was the finger of God that wrote that on there, right? You know what Jesus has said? He says, therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. He's saying, I'm the one who instituted it. And it's not for me, it's for you. Now, don't you know that just rubbed them the wrong way? He just said, I'm God, when he said that. And so, of course, we read that they got pretty upset, but it shows that he was the law of Sabbath. He's the one who made it. Now, today, as believers, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And only lost people are under the law. But when God again works with the nation of Israel, the Sabbath day will be enforced again. Now, this is something a lot of people don't understand. Today, listen, today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Now, that means this. That means if you're a Jew today, and you're not saved, then you are under the law to include the Sabbath because it was given to the nation of Israel. If you are a Gentile today and you are not saved, and technically by Bible terms, if you're a Gentile, you're a person who's not a Jew, who's not saved. Because in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, okay? So what that means is this. That means that everybody in the world today is either Jew, Gentile, or a born-again believer. You have to fall in one of those three categories, okay? And so when he's talking about this, that a lost Jew today would be under all the law. He had to keep all the law, which he's not going to be able to do it. And a Gentile today has the law written in his heart, and he'd have to keep all the law too, not to include the Sabbath. But he had to keep the law too, which no person can keep all the law. We know that because there were such things as sin offerings. So when they did break the law, they could offer it a sin offering. Why? Nobody could keep the law without breaking it. Amen? So, but one of these days, but today, if you're saved, you're not under the law. But come the tribulation, when the tribulation happens on this earth, the Sabbath day will be reinstituted and they'll be under it again. Now I'll show you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 15, we're shown that at the midpoint of the 70th week of Daniel is when the Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple. Now remember, the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, it's going to be peace. He's going to come in with peace. That's the reason you see him show up over there in Revelation chapter 6. And he's come there and he's got a crown on his head and he's got a bow and there's no arrows in the bow. He's coming in peace, okay, for 3.5 years. But at the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, that's when the Great Tribulation begins, what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years of that 70th week of Daniel. When that begins with him desecrating the temple and claiming himself to be God and requiring everybody to worship him by taking the mark of the beast. Now listen, things are going to get way bad when that day comes, okay? Because, listen, he's going to want everybody to worship him. He's going to want everybody to take the mark of the beast, and people won't be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the beast. And so that's what Matthew chapter 24 is talking about, beginning at verse 15. Now look at verse 15. It says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." It's talking about when he desecrates the temple. You read about that over in the book of Daniel. Verse 16. "Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." Why? Because things are going to get bad. You better get out of town. Because he's going to claim himself to be God. He's going to require people to take that mark. And if you can get out of town, you better get out of town. It says, "Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Leave it all there. Just get out of town. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days." Now look at verse 20. "But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." The Sabbath day is going to be reinstituted during that time. It's going to be reinstituted. Now today, the Old Testament Sabbath keepers, I say that they're living on the wrong side of Calvary. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, folks, we're not under the law. If you listen, to be saved, the law has nothing to do with it. He's the end of the law. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and he was the end of the law. That doesn't mean we're not to keep the law. We are, because that pleases God. But when it comes to salvation, the law has nothing to do with your salvation at all. Now, a person today says, "Oh, you've got to keep the Sabbath." Well, here's what Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17 says. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. You need to see this. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 16 and 17. Paul makes it clear here. You're not under the law. You're not under any of the law. But yet there are going to be people that's going to try to put you under the law and even try to put you where you have to keep the Sabbath when the Sabbath was never for anybody other than the children of Israel. Hey, listen, honestly, today if somebody says you need to keep the Sabbath, I wouldn't have a big problem with it as long as he was talking to a lost Jew. Okay? But to come up to us as Gentiles or to a lost Gentile or somebody who's saved and say you got to keep the Sabbath, man, you're wrong on all counts. Okay, because it was never given to any Gentile, and it certainly isn't applied to the church. How do we know that? Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 16. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day." In other words, somebody says you got to keep the Feast of Weeks, got to keep the Passover. "Let no man judge you in meat or drink in respect of holy days or of the new moon or of what? The Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ." Now notice there it says the Sabbath days, plural. How many of you understand that there are more than just the weekly Sabbaths in your Bible? You say, well, what are you talking about? You realize that whenever you have those feasts, that there were Sabbaths involved. In fact, they're called high days or high Sabbaths. One of them is the day after the Passover. Because when you read your Bible back in the Old Testament, you have the Passover, and then you have the 7 days of unleavened bread, and the very first day right after the Passover is known as the Sabbath, or the Passover Sabbath, which is a high day. That's what it's talking about there. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole, you know, because I usually wait till Easter to teach it, but how many of you understand there's no Good Friday? There's no such thing as Good Friday. Why? Because if there were a Good Friday, that means Jesus was not in the grave for 3 days and three nights. What people do, they say, well, he was in the grave for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that's technically 3 days. No, that's not 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If he rose Sunday morning, you can't get 3 days out of that. I don't care how hard you try. Amen? You can't. But what happens was they say, well, they wanted to get him off the cross because the next day was a Sabbath. And they'll say, well, that had to be Saturday. So that means he had to die on a Friday. No, because the book of John says that that Sabbath was a high day, which means he was crucified on Passover. You know what the day after Passover is? It's the high Sabbath. So that means he was crucified on a Wednesday. Thursday would have been the high Sabbath, and he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he came out just like he prophesied he would. Now, we're going to get into that a whole lot more when we get closer to Easter. But that's reading it says Sabbath days there. And so the Sabbath is not for us. We're not to keep the Sabbath. We never were to keep the Sabbath. The special day for Christians is not on the seventh day of the week. The special day for Christians is on the first day of the week, which according to your Bible is Sunday. That's the special day for Christians. Notice that Christians assembled on the first day of the week. Acts 20 verse 7 says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." First day of the week. Also, the disciples were going to church and hearing preaching on the first day of the week in your Bible, which is Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." What he is basically saying is on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, take up your offerings. That's what he's saying, all right? Now, that's just the beginning of it. All the way through, you'll find that it was on the first day of the week that Christians were to meet. It was the first day of the week. Listen, the Jews met in the synagogue on Saturday, but Christians, born-again believers, they never met in the synagogue on Saturday. They met on the first day of the week. Now, just want to throw this out to you. You say, well, what right did the church have to change the Sabbath when they were worshiping in the synagogue to the first day of the week? What right did they have to change it? None whatsoever. But God changed it. I'll prove it to you. What day was Jesus raised on? First day of the week, Sunday. He met with his disciples five times after his resurrection. You know what day he met them on? Sunday, the first day of the week. He imparted the Holy Spirit to them when? Sunday, first day of the week. The Great Commission was given to the church when? Sunday, the first day of the week. Jesus ascended on what day? Sunday, the beginning of the week. The day of Pentecost was on what day? Sunday, the beginning of the week. You starting to see a pattern here? That's what Jesus did. Oh, and by the way, in Scripture, Sunday is never called the Christian Sabbath. Never. It's never called the Christian Sabbath. It's not associated with the Sabbath whatsoever. Not at all. But it is the day that the Lord, that the Lord arose from the dead. And it's a day that we celebrate. In fact, you're here this morning on the first day of the week because for a couple of reasons. One, because the Lord set the precedence by making that all these things happen on the first day of the week. The Bible says that when you come together on the first day of the week to break bread and take collections, that's what we're here for. And every Sunday, technically, we're celebrating the same thing that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason you're here on a Sunday morning rather than on a Saturday morning. How many of you understand that? That's the reason we're here, all right? Now, we are to meet on Sundays, but it's not the Christian Sabbath. Now, I will tell you that when I grew up, things on Sunday were a whole lot more conservative. When I say that, I mean that nothing was open when I grew up. I mean, even if you needed gas, the gas station would be closed on Sunday. You had to get gas Saturday, okay, or the week before. You couldn't go to the store. Most stores were closed. And I'm not against us treating Sunday in a reverent way. I personally think that we should be able to set apart a day for the Lord. In fact, if you look through the scriptures, you'll find out that the Lord has always required the first fruits. All the way back to Genesis, all the way through, he's always required the first fruits. Amen? Even today, if you give the Lord, you should give of your first fruits. Because of that, would you agree that all the way through that Bible, there are some people say, well, I don't believe in tithings from the New Testament, and I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I will tell you this, that through that Bible, it has been made very clear that we are to give the Lord a certain amount of everything that we have. Our time, what he's blessed us with. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't have Paul saying that when you collect, do it on the first day of the week. Okay, you wouldn't have that. What I'm trying to say is this, is if he's always required the first fruits, and he's always required for us to give him a certain amount of what we have, and part of that is time, wouldn't it make sense that the first fruits would be on the first day of the week? That you would give that day to the Lord? Makes sense, doesn't it? Listen, you say, well, I've got to work on Sunday. I understand that. I understand that there are some people that do have to work. When I was in the military, I had to work on some Sundays. I had weekend duties. I had to do those things. And if you have to, that's fine. Because there's no law given in your Bible that we are not to work on Sunday. I will tell you this, if you have a conviction about it, stick with your convictions. But there's no law saying that you're not supposed to work on Sunday. But I do think that you can have enough evidence to show that we should set time for the Lord, and that time should be the first fruits, which makes that the first day of the week. I think you can certainly see that in the scripture. And so what I'm telling you this morning is this, is we were never to keep the Sabbath by itself. It was never for any Gentile, and it certainly isn't for born-again believers today, ever. It was for the nation of Israel, and God gave his reasons for it because he delivered them from Egypt, okay? And we're not under the law. And the Sabbath day is a Saturday, and we do what we do on Sunday because that's what the early church did. And that's what the precedents that the Lord set when he did everything he did after the resurrection was always on the first day of the week. And so we meet on the first day of the week. And you say, well, I'm just one of those that believe that you shouldn't work on Sunday. Okay, then don't work on Sunday. But you can't find that in the scriptures. I'm just telling you can't find it in the scriptures. If you say, well, you can't work, and I will say this too, for those people that say, well, I believe that you should just keep the Sabbath, do you realize that there isn't a person on this planet today that keeps the Sabbath the way that Bible tells them to? And certainly, none of the Sabbath keepers in this country. Let me tell you how I know it. Because that Bible says that, if you go back over in the Old Testament, it says that on the Sabbath they were to kindle no fire. Kindle no fire. You know what that means? That means you can't burn anything on the Sabbath. You go to a Seventh-day Adventist here in Montana that meet on a Saturday, you're going to notice it's warm in that church. Now, how do you suppose it got warm in that church? Because somebody turned on a furnace. Sorry, they broke the Sabbath. They kindled a fire. They got in their cars and drove there. You know how an engine works? You're kindling a fire. Don't tell me that people keep the Sabbath. There ain't nobody keeping the Sabbath, but yet they want you to do it when it was never given to the church. It was never given to any Gentile. How many of you understand that? Listen, if you keep Sunday, reverent Sunday, you should. And if you have a conviction about working on Sunday, don't work. But know what the Bible says, okay, specifically what it says. Let's go ahead and pray.